Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved. Cast out demons and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of men's souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com.
Are you ready?
Ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee
and strap yourself in.
If you listen, we can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Brother Mac, how you doing, my friend? Give me just a second.
I'm doing pretty good.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get you queued in there. Give me just a minute. Okay.
I'm surprised Major Baird isn't in here.
Have you talked to him?
Yeah, I talked to him just a few minutes ago.
Okay. I'll tell you what we'll do. For the sake of time, we'll get started, and when he comes in, we'll patch him in. My friend, welcome back. Everybody, welcome aboard. Excited to be here tonight with Professor Tom Mack and
Whitestone Foundation for Research. And then, of course, there is my book publishing company, White Cottage Publishing.
I got tongue twisted for a minute because I know White Horse Outreach, the White House, and White Cottage. It's like
Whitestone you actually can find in the Bible.
That's right, Whitestone. Thank God your name is not Peter, because one time I had four Peters on here, and I had to keep them all straight.
Oh, boy.
We're excited to be here with the professor tonight. And you want to open us up in prayer, my friend?
Yes. Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we come before you tonight, and we just lift up this program, and we ask that you would make my words your words, and that I would speak what you would have me to say. And Heavenly Father, it's going to be interesting tonight because I've embarked on something I wasn't planning to do tonight, so I need your help specially. We just thank you for Shannon and thank you that he's provided this place where we can minister and show your word to the world. Amen.
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 Oh, thank you. I see Major Baird's in.
Welcome,
yeah,
Major.
Yeah, my computer crashed. I hear you all 5x5.
Awesome. Right. I'm going to turn the mic over to you all. Take it away.
Okay. You know, we've been doing this series here on the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. When we started, we were not expecting it to kick in like it did. We just weren't planning on that. And like Augusto said in the last one, the devil sort of pushed this thing ahead. And even as I speak now, I'm working on technologies to push that back, because there's still a lot of people to bring into the kingdom. And they're not there yet. And so we've got to find ways to stop the devil and bring that and bring things back on the right time.
Amen.
and whoops here. This picture didn't come out right. Mm-hmm. So let's go over to Dr. Tesla. I have a book on the decks about him, and someday I'll finish it. Olaf Hagee and I started it, but he died, so I've been working on with it. But Tesla said something very interesting. He said, today's scientists have substituted mathematics for experiments, and they wander off through equation after equation and eventually build a structure which has no relation to reality.
Amen.
And
welcome to the climate change crowd.
As I said, it's one thing to do equations, and I've done my fair shares, as has Major Baird. We've sort of compared our curriculums in the past, and even though I went through graduate school, 15 years after Major Baird did, a lot of our classes were the same, and we studied many of the same things. Mm-hmm. It's just, when I was doing it, PCs were starting to be a thing. And suddenly you could start to do a lot of this work on a PC. And then...
You know what I was working on?
Oh, I hate to say it.
An RCA card reader.
Oh, yes. When I was in college, I had to deal with card readers. And boy, if you got the cards turned around,
A
mess you had. And sad to say, one of my big projects was a prediction program that predicted the outcomes of NBA basketball games. Hmm. I wrote the thing in Fortran, and it actually didn't do such a bad job, but if I were going to write it today, there'd be a lot more factors I'd have to write in that I had no idea about.
True.
Back then. And I've been amazed at all the things people do with sports betting now. You know, you watch a little football on Saturday or Sunday, and there are just half of the advertising is sports betting now.
Hmm.
And
yeah.
The thing is, getting back to our point here, there are many times when you still have to do the experiment. You got to build your model, and you got to see if it's going to work. Because sometimes the greatest plans you can come up with, when you try building it, it falls apart. And you suddenly realize, well, I didn't consider this little thing in my equation.
You know, that's interesting you would mention that. Because in the military, when we train for battle, we're doing the exact same thing. We're setting up a model of what the enemy is going to do. In fact, I had intelligence when I was in Korea. And I was trying to get more current intelligence on the opposing units of North Koreans, who their commanders were and what their idiosyncrasies were, because my unit was so well refined in its battle order that we could actually tailor our maneuvers and plan of attack to hit the weaknesses of those commanders. It was just that. And of course, that didn't take any computer. But the point is, you have to, if you're going to do something critical, you've got to make a model and you've got to see if it works. And that's crucial.
Well, one of the things, one of the best modelings is when you're a pilot. How many times did you do a flight simulator?
Oh, yes.
And how many times did you kill everybody in that flight simulator?
Well, everybody was just myself. I was actually in a flight simulator of F4U.
That's why I'm saying, how many times Did you kill somebody in that simulator? I've had airline pilots say, I just killed 200 people.
Yes, to include himself.
But he said, because he learned the wrong or found the wrong way to do it, the next time he would be able to do it right.
That's exactly right. That's correct.
And Tesla. And
what we're looking at.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that in economic theory.
No.
In fact, one of the things I have stock market programs to that I can project the market, but there's ever so often I find something I need to add to it, or I find myself changing my equations.
Yes, exactly.
And this is one of the things that we haven't seen from the likes of the World Economic Forum.
No.
Or from the European Union or the United States.
Or any of the world leaders at all. Yeah. They're essentially fifth graders with third grader education and fifth grade emotions with third grade educations.
And as I say, they don't understand the procedures of what they're doing.
No, they don't.
You know, it's all politics at that point and what you can say to pacify the largest number of people.
Or the biggest donor.
Right, yeah. Unfortunately, we have to think about that harsh reality. Yeah, the biggest donor.
And, you know, one of the things that's neat about it is that, and we're going to see this as we continue along, if we go to the Bible, and particularly now Daniel and Revelation and the other minor prophets.
Zechariah fits in here, and actually a lot
Joel,
of Isaiah.
Isaiah, Jeremiah, yes, all of those. And God has given us the most accurate, amazingly accurate model for us to put the live events that are happening in our time and stirring us right in the. Now, you have to know the original languages or have the capability of going to the original languages with somebody, some software or some professor that knows the language and the nuances that can explain it, each word, because each language has its own nuances, and you've got to catch those nuances in the Bible too, because they play a great part in it. And here we are right now. Here is something Dr. What is her name now?
Carrie Madej.
Carrie Madej, yes.
This, I saw this just today.
Wow. That had to be the timing of the Lord.
Yeah. And she just put this video up a day or two ago on Stu Peters' report. And I put a link down there. I wasn't going to play it today because we don't want to get Shannon in too much trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
But what she saw on these slides when she looked at the vaccines, she sees this.
That's right.
It's Vulgaris, I got a feeling, is her name. I don't know that I could come up with that on my own.
No. This is a message from the enemy. And this is what he's bragging about. This is talking about a Hydra. And I'll tell you a little bit about the Hydra in just a minute. But take good note of these words. I am the Hydra Vulgaris, and I'm alive. I am in the vaccine. I am immortal. I am inside you now. Now, the problem is, you know how I stay immortal? You can chop this little filly up to single cells if you want to. Normally you can't get them down that low, but even if you get down to single cells, or you smash it so that there are a bunch of single cells out there, every cell can replicate, it can duplicate itself and become another Hydra.
So in other words, if I kill one Hydra, I cut a Hydra in two, I'm going to get two Hydras.
That's correct.
If I cut it in four pieces, I get five Hydras.
That's right. You continue.
And if I shred it, I get a million.
That's right. And it's all inside of you, eating you alive.
Tearing up your nervous system.
Doesn't that feel nice?
But yes.
God has a cure. You have the other slide that goes beyond this one? Here's the note. And let's listen to this. If indeed the organism Hydra vulgaris is in the vaccine, and it is, it explains why the CDC tried to ban ivermectin as a treatment for COVID-19 vaccines. Because ivermectin kills this parasite. It literally kills it. Doesn't matter how many millions are in you, if you take ivermectin, they're gone. Now, what does that tell us about CDC? What does it tell us about our government agencies, our three-letter agencies? They are not out here as...
they're not here to help us.
No, they're not. As one president said, if you hear them come and say, I am from the government and I'm here to help you, that's the most dangerous phrase you'll ever hear.
Yeah, I heard it as a little kid. I heard it as a little kid from my elders. Beware when someone comes to your door and says, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Yep.
And President Reagan made the statement famous, but I heard it as a little boy.
Yes, exactly. And
sometimes I would go with my grandfather and he'd go to this one place and we'd have coffee. Of course, I had orange juice. My mother made it very clear I was not to touch the stuff. or at least while I was young. Now that I'm older, I drink probably too much, but in any case, what we've seen here is we've seen a government that has gone wild and has started to do things that are not good.
Yeah, and in fact, it's wildly rogue, if you catch my meaning.
Yeah. And this is not what either one of us signed up for when we served in the United States Army.
Absolutely not.
And I'm sure if that this kind of thing had happened and when we were young, our fathers would have forbid us to go in.
Oh, yes.
But speaking of what our government's doing, they have some other plans. And we came up with this report courtesy of Brian, and I never can pronounce his Latin name. He's from the New Atlas.
I can't pronounce it either. It's
Berserk or something like that.
Yeah.
Berserk.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought out a report from Rand Corporation. Major Baird, tell us about Rand Corporation.
Well, it's a ultra-liberal think tank that does scenarios, predictive scenarios of creating wish lists for those who are in power to enact. And this is it.
So basically what they're trying to do here is they're trying to extend Russia to the place where it will break.
Mm-hmm. Like a rubber band out, stretched out to its beyond its length.
What they don't understand about it is Russia had all these countries at one time in the Soviet Union. And they held these countries from 1920 on to 1991. That's 70 years. If they wanted it, they could do it again, and it wouldn't be any stress on them. In fact, they would like some of the natural resources that would, man, what have they done in Ukraine? They've taken over all the factories. And the only thing that's left to the Ukrainians is a bunch of farm fields. And we're going to find out what happened to those farm fields in a minute. But we had to stop for a moment. Today is Gunsmith's Day, according to a Russian presidential decree signed on December 3rd, 2011. So we stop for a moment and recognize Gunsmith's Day. Thought everybody ought to get a laugh out of that. But
amen. I'd like to have that plastered all over every desk on every government agency.
And, oh boy, I see that this won't let me do the nice slides I had in mind.
Uh-oh.
So we might be able to get them another way here.
Well, essentially what he's talking about, he's speaking, of course, in his native tongue of Russian. And he's explaining.
Here's the. I forgot the Falcon one here, I think. Here.
Oh, all right. This is okay.
Hopefully, it's going to come in.
Well,
President Shannon has to approve those. Yeah. So we'll have to just move on here.
Essentially, President Putin has stated that if the Ukrainians will stop playing around with the port authorities in their country and release the grain that's there, he will provide it free to all the nations in Africa and South America that are in need of it, rather than having it sent directly to the EU, because that's where the first grain went. Instead of going to the countries that had ordered it and are in need of it, it went directly to the EU.
Well, and here's the other interesting thing too, and this is what the video was going to tell us, that most of the Ukrainian grain is owned by American companies.
Yep.
So basically, President Putin is saying to us that the Americans are very enterprising. Their companies bought up all the farmland after we left. And so all the grain belongs to the American companies, and guess what they're doing? They're dishing it out where they can make the most money. And where are they dishing it? Number one, they're doing it to the EU, who is desperate for it and is willing to pay top dollar for it.
Well, meanwhile, the poor countries that are poor and are in great need get it no more.
No, and no. None of these big companies are going to give it to them. Because, you know, these big companies, and I'm not going to name them, they've made lots of money over the years over this. But what are they doing now? They've started a new war in Putin's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who was in Armenia yesterday, and she's still there today. Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, the chief destabilizer of the world, Nancy Pelosi.
And boy,
She's chief right underneath President Biden.
Mm-hmm. In fact, sometimes I wonder if she isn't truly the Secretary of State.
Well, the Secretary of State is definitely in her pocket.
Yes. And what does she do when she gets there? She blames Azerbaijan for starting the conflict. Remember, Azerbaijan is an Islamic republic.
Yeah,
it was once part of Russia.
That's right. Well, it used to be a part of Russia, and the United States has influence in it. And I'm sure, I don't have the proof right now, but I'm sure we can find it if we dig deep enough, that it was United States' suggestion to instigate an artillery barrage against Armenia over that particular little piece of land that is actually populated by almost totally by Armenians, but claimed by Azerbaijan.
But she's also, Azerbaijan is arguing back that Pelosi's endangering peace in the Caucasus Mountains, and that her remarks are unacceptable. Of course they're not acceptable. But Pelosi is also there promoting a velvet revolution, another color revolution, just like they did in Ukraine back in 2014.
Yep. They want to create another Ukraine right there. At the same time, they want a two-front war for Russia to extend Russia.
What they don't understand is Russia's got a lot of resources, and they have a manufacturing base, unlike the United States, which sold it all with NAFTA. They're doing rather nicely. Here's the country of Armenia. A couple things to note. They're the first whole country, to adopt Christianity in the 4th century. And the Armenian Orthodox Church remains the largest church in the country. Think about something here. The Orthodox Church is still an opponent to the Catholic Church in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any person that would rule over it, it's the Patriarch of Constantinople, now known as Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
But he would not go there and start telling the Armenian Orthodox Church what to do.
No.
He would go there as an equal to the Archbishop of the Armenian Church.
That's
right. And even if you go around the United States, you'll find Armenian Orthodox churches. And it is an interesting visit. You'll find some very interesting things that go on in those churches. And I have a considerable amount of respect for them because they've hung out in lands. Because look at the country surrounding. There's Azerbaijan to the east, Turkey to the west, Georgia to the north.
Yeah.
And you notice Iran to the south.
To the south, that's right. And which usually, its real name is Persia. And it only got changed in World War II. Well, actually World War I. But you got to remember, this is north of the Caucasus Mountains, the most impenetrable mountains you can find, almost. It really is a hard border for a nation between the north and the south of the Caucasus Mountains. And there were miraculous traversings and fordings by the lost 10 tribes of Israel that went from the south, from Persia, through the Caucasus Mountains to the north, and they settled here in Armenia and Azerbaijan, and then, of course, over in Turkey and so on, and then further on up into Russia itself. And you got to remember that when they did this, they had they were the 10 tribes, the northern tribes of Israel.
We're going to read those scriptures here in a little bit.
Okay, good, because they ended up determining among themselves that we have messed up really bad, and I'm paraphrasing it, obviously, and we will worship the Lord our God as he prescribed for us. And so they did turn to God, and God heard their prayers and allowed them to migrate, literally migrate through this almost impenetrable barrier to come on up here. And it's a miracle itself that they got there. And one of the reasons that Armenia became so profoundly Christian is because they already had the good, fertile seedbed. Remember the parable of the sower of the seeds?
Mm-hmm.
And Armenia was one of them that was a good, rich soil. And they prospered in it. And then, of course, when God's word and God's testimony of Christ came to them, they immediately recognized, yes, this is the Messiah in his first coming. And all became Christian.
And
that's another story.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, like I say, the real question is, why are we concerned about Armenia? It's a country about the size of the state of Maryland, according to our people. I think it's maybe a little bit larger, but Colorado is considerably larger. In fact, you could put about 5 Armenias in Colorado. But the Caucasus Mountains and the Rocky Mountains have a few similarities. But the big thing is we are looking at this area because the 10 tribes, after the Assyrians defeated them, they were taken to this area.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the scriptures, 2 Kings 15. In the 250th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, which is the capital of the northern kingdom, and reigned 20 years. And like the rest of them, and he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahuwah. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. We've talked about him, who made Israel to sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon, Abel-Beth-Maacah, and Yonah, and Kadesh, and Hazor, and Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them away, carried them captive to Assyria. And Hoshea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and smote him, and slew him, and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. And the rest of the acts of Pekah, and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. And we don't have copies of that, unless they're still hidden in the Dead Sea Scrolls somewhere. But it didn't stop there. Go on to 2 Kings 17. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahuwah, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. But unfortunately, the sin was still there. against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. Guess bribe him and that maybe that'll cool him off a little bit. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea. Gee, I can't understand why. He killed the previous king and took over. I don't know that I would trust him either. For he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria. Not smart, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout the land and went up to Samaria and besieged 3 years. And in the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Assyria, took Samaria and carried away Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Haloth and in Habor by the river Gozan in the cities of the Medes. Back in those days, Armenia was part of the Median Empire.
Mm-hmm. And it's on the northern edge of their kingdom. So they were there as a buffer against any marauding hordes that might try to come in to the Medes and the Persians. Because they were known for being fierce warriors.
But the interesting thing I want to talk about in these last few minutes before is a thing called territorial spirits. Every land has its own set of evil spirits that rule over it. We call them principalities. But in Deliverance, we found that there's more than just principalities. There are powers, there are rulers. But I've also seen emperors that rule over large parts of ground, and sometimes you need to bind them as well. And maybe one of these days we can get Shannon to bring up Wynne Worley's talk on binding and loosing. Nobody teaches it better than Wynne Worley. It's too bad he's dead, but let's go on. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Kuha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not Yahuwah. Therefore Yahuwah sent lions among them, which slew some of them. You don't want to upset those kitties. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the Elohim of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the Elohim of the land. Oops, we sort of messed up there. Then the king of Assyria commanded. He understood the situation, realized he screwed up. And he says, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them as the manner of the Elohim of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear Yahuwah. Bethel means house of God. Howbeit every nation made Elohim of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places, which the Samaritans had made. Every nation in their cities where they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal. And Nergal we remember because if you've ever watched the original Exorcist movie, and you see them unearthing a temple, That was Nergal, was the temple they were unearthing. And the men of Hamath made Ashima. We've met Ashima many times in the Bible codes. He is a joker spirit. He loves to play tricks on human beings. In fact, the comic book people have used his character from antiquity and made the bad guy the Joker, who's a nemesis of Batman. See, there's not too much creativity in the world that we just steal from history. And the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak. And the Serfavites burnt their children in the fire to Adramelech and Anamelech, the Elohim of the Sepharvim. So they feared Yahuwah and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared Yahuwah, but they served their own Elohim after the manner of the nations they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not Yahuwah, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandment which Yahuwah commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom Yahuwah had made a covenant, and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other Elohim, or bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But Yahuwah, who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm, him ye shall fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye sacrifice. So, what we see here, we're seeing that they planted these people in the promised land, took the Israelites out, put in these people, and they pretended to serve Yahuwah a little, but mainly they served the gods that they wanted to serve. And the last verse on slide 19. So these nations feared Yahuwah and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, and so do they unto this day.
Which perpetuates the generational curses.
That's right. Now let's go look at some more things here. I just saw this British power bill today. And it said, your energy payments, you are paying £52.35 per month. Well, that's about, right now it's about $52. The pound has dropped so much that now it's almost equal with the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
slightly lower than par. Mm-hmm.
Whereas I remember when I was a kid, the pound was something like $4.20 compared to the dollar.
Four to one. Mm-hmm.
But it says your future payments will be £1,248.90 per month. That's quite a power bill. But Russia has that power, and they're using it.
Well, it's only because the collective West has cut off their nose to spite their face by imposing sanctions on themselves. The sanctions that they gave, hoping that it would destroy Russia, has actually boomeranged and come right back on them because they cut off their own fuel. How dumb can that be?
And then, what do they do? What does their media do? We've spent about 4 days burying the queen. And look at that checkerboard. It's a Masonic floor. I hate to see it. I saw that a number of times in the Army, too. In various buildings, I would see those checkerboards. And I hadn't thought about that in a lot of years, but that's a cult.
Yeah.
And one of the things I wanted to bring out here in all this, as we've read these scriptures, we're seeing that they're still worshiping the same false idols. Everything that you're seeing there is still the idol. And even the Archbishop of Canterbury up there, he's wearing that black robe, which is not something that our Heavenly Father ever ordained. You see the mitre hat on one of the bishops. That's from Dagon. And I do see a skull cap. I don't think that's a kip on any of them. And of course, we have the British Redcoats, which in the American Revolution, we didn't care much for them.
No. Well, the heraldry and pageantry that is ingrained in the royal ceremonies is just filled with pagan symbols. The dragon,
yes,
the double-headed lion.
And clear in the back there, I see the Queen's Bench Court, because they always wear their white wigs to show that the law is pure, which it's not. And I think there are a lot of people in Great Britain who would agree with that. But I see we're just a little ahead on our time, but we got to bring up the books. And also Major Baird's Telegram channel. Go ahead and subscribe. Telegram's an interesting channel because you can get a lot of news off of there that you can't get from any other medium that I've found. One of the things I've found, and this has been a little troubling, I go on Google and I research almost any news item. And suddenly I am taken for 40 pages. I am taken to nothing but mainstream websites. They have literally cut the smaller websites like ours out. And that has become troubling. It's caused me to find different websites to use when I do searches. DuckDuckGo still gets me a lot of the searches, or gets me a lot of different ideas for searches. Also, I found when I have to do these things, I have to be very specific in what I want searched. You do a very general search, you're going to get a general answer, and it's going to be pointed towards the mainstream news. And all the secondary news outlets are going to be cut out. You won't get a lot of these.
You will not get true data.
And if you look on Major Baird's website, we have it listed there of news sites where we get our stuff and where we follow the news. I've even often found BBC now to be unreliable.
Yes, yes,
I found Sky News to be a little bit unreliable at times.
Well, it is Australian.
And
so is ruled by the same elites that the entire United Kingdom is ruled by.
Mm-hmm. And so, as I say, we've put in some places where you can go. We've found a lot of good information on the Duran, run by a guy from two guys from Greece. One of them, though, has lived in Great Britain for a lot of years, and he's an attorney, and he's also an economist. Actually, one of the few British economists I can stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of them, as we've said in other shows, are Keynesian. But I don't know. I think Shannon's abandoned us here.
Well, that's all right.
I just wanted to give you all time tonight to cover this. I usually interrupt you, and we never get too far.
Well, I don't mind. Sometimes you ask some good questions.
Yes, you add greatly to it.
Let me get myself back on camera. No, I'm here with you all, gentlemen. What an honor to be here with Professor Tom Mack and Major Tom Barrett. You know, as y'all were talking tonight, some thoughts really occurred to me. All war being waged leads to a coming war on the saints and the invasion of Israel. We just want to do a fast forward. Also wanted to say, I believe the Great Reset is about the transfer of all power ultimately to the beast, branding you as being owned by Satan, and execution of all who resist.
Yes.
We're just fast-forwarding, folks. We're being forthright. They probably haven't told you this, but we're going to tell you right here and now. It's coming. And you have been called to lay your life down for Jesus Christ. If you're unwilling, you will likely never see Jesus until the great white throne judgment, and then it's going to be too late. I give some verses over there in Matthew 16 about Jesus saying, pick up your cross and follow me, or you're not worthy of me. If you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. Some other thoughts that occur to me, gentlemen, it's better to be beheaded for Jesus Christ than to take the mark that will be mandated and spend forever in the lake of fire.
That's right.
Want to reiterate again, if you take the mark of the beast that's coming, folks, and will be mandated worldwide, and you bow and worship this beast, you will spend forever in the lake of fire. This is called the second death, mentioned in Revelation 14:9. And again, that's the plan.
Did you see the slide I just put up there? That's in the vaccine.
That's amazing.
A lady doctor found it, and she's found it in all of them.
You know, I heard somewhere just recently one of the major governmental websites has added ivermectin as a therapy. Now, everybody tried to stop you from getting it. And now, after millions are probably dead and infected, now they want to say, oh, ivermectin is a safe protocol? What's this about? Cover the
bus? Now they're still not. The CDC still says it's not.
And I don't know what site that was. I need to confirm that news.
Yeah,
but
the thing you have to understand is the CDC is still playing the world government game.
Yeah.
But a lot of doctors, they still remember their Hippocratic Oath, even though they swore it to a false god. They still remember the promises they made. And one of them was to do no harm.
Absolutely. You know,
I've had one of my former physicians used to point that out to me. He said, whatever I do for you, I can't harm you in any way. Otherwise, I've violated everything I've been told to do as a medical doctor.
The issue is many of these people are amoral now, and it's about the money, and they're brainwashed in school. To use cut and burn therapy. I know we only have 3 minutes, but I wanted to say, when y'all mentioned ivermectin again tonight, I was prompted to go out and I'm going to buy some again. I have to special order. It comes in from Australia. under the guise of, it's called, there's another brand name, but it's basically for dogs and cats. It's got their picture on the front cover. Now, it's ivermectin, 2.5 milligrams per tablet, but I have to eat dog ivermectin. It's the only form I can get over here. Everything else is blocked. So it's okay, whatever they want to call it. It works. You got to take five of them based on my body weight. So I've given it to the children. I've taken it, and you know, just as I've learned, a dog needs to be dewormed about every 2 to 3 months, according to talking to some vets here recently. And I'm believing that because I've seen worms in their stool come out like white spaghetti.
Yes.
In a 6 month period, something.
You see it with cats too.
And I'm like, they're not even playing in the dirt. They're just out on pavement. Nonetheless, parasites are in animals, they're in humans, and you don't want this Hydra in your body. And if ivermectin kills it, it's time to buy it, whatever form you take it. Just don't get the liquid stuff. Now, that stuff can be potent. They put other types of chemicals in some of the liquid forms. I don't recommend you take ivermectin in liquid, but get the tablets. You can order it. It might be costly right now, but I would say everybody should stock up on some, and I'm going to buy some. Again, that's the only route I can get it through Australia is dog ivermectin. So there we are. Sounds kooky.
Amen.
You know what? I'm going to kill those worms one way or the other. I want to thank you, Jim. Amen. Those hydras, I'm going to kill them. And it's time to get your alternative medicine chest set up. Of course, nothing better than the blood of Jesus, but I also use this right here. Silver Biotics, Super Silver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Cost me $100 a bottle, which is just robbery, but that's the only way I can get it in. I have to order it from Amazon, and then half of it is in customs. You can buy it cheap in America.
Another,
I was going to say, I don't have to pay near that much.
Yeah. Another combination of chemicals is zinc and copper, if you can get that combination, because that breaks the bonding facilitators in your mRNA. I mean mRNA.
That's right. And selenium. There was a doctor, his name is Zielinski Protocol. I'm not pronouncing his name right. He died, but he had a great formula which included that you just mentioned. We're out of time. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming on. Folks, go to these websites that are posted on the screen. And if you're not looking at the screen, aliveontheedge.com and whitestonefoundation.org. That'll take you there. Gentlemen, God bless you. What shall we title tonight's broadcast for the archive?
Oh, boy.
Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
I think we're just going to have to call it Current Events because that's what we did today.
Okay, fantastic. We will see you, gentlemen, next time. God bless you both.
Okay, God bless you. See you next week.
Okay, friends, stand by as we set up for our next broadcast. Here we go. Let me save this. We'll be right back. We are dialing.